Well, it's Cathal's Rochford's turn to join us today for Blevins Frank's Talks. How are you doing, Cathal?
I'm very well, thanks, Howard. How are you?
I'm very well. Nice to catch up with you.
Indeed.
Banks and the banking industry have been in the news again recently, so it seems a good time to revisit a subject we cover every couple of years. What protection your bank deposits have should the bank collapse? First of all then, Cathal, can you quickly summarise why banks have been in the news recently? Is there any cause for concern here in Spain?
Sure, Howard. It is rather complex what's happened in the banks, but I will try to simplify what has happened as best as I can. Basically, the issues we've seen in recent weeks with the banks, including Silicon Valley Bank, which was one of the largest bank failures in US history, stems back to the pandemic. During the COVID pandemic, we had widespread lockdowns and large parts of the global economy was shut down. To keep the economies afloat, governments and central banks cut interest rates to zero and introduced massive rounds of stimulus or money creation to provide loans, furlough programs and stimulus checks to people whilst they were out of work. So when you combine an increase in money supply with a reduction in goods being produced due to the lockdowns and the pandemic, we started to see inflation build throughout 2021 and through to today. This wave of new money made its way to the banks, of course, and with interest rates at zero, the banks needed to generate a return on this cash. So what many banks opted to do was to invest the cash in government bonds, which have historically been a very stable and liquid place to hold funds to generate an interest. What banks likely didn't expect was for inflation to reach a 40-year high of approaching 10% and remain there. So to counter this high inflation, central banks began hiking interest rates at a far quicker pace than originally expected, and this put pressure on the value of bonds. Bonds and interest rates have an inverse relationship, and so therefore the banks that were holding a lot of bonds began to make losses on these bonds. So higher interest rates can generally put pressure on businesses, mortgage payers, and make things quite tight in the economy in general. And so when people began to draw down on their bank deposits, the banks had to sell down their bond holdings at a loss. So as it became known that some banks had made quite substantial losses and may not have sufficient deposits on hand to return to its customers, we saw these banks come under immense pressure, and in a few cases, a few banks became insolvent and actually failed. So in a digital age where information can move very rapidly and people can withdraw funds over the internet or even from their phones, this certainly can quicken the pace of any bank issues today. And that's what we've experienced. We've experienced information moving very quickly and banks becoming under pressure at a very rapid rate. So although I don't believe this to be a cause for concern for most banks, even here in Spain, most banks are highly stable and well regulated, it does beg the question as to how protected are you if something like this was to happen to your bank? And it's worth being fully informed on these matters.
Regardless, I presume it's a good idea for us to know what guarantees the institutions we place our money in provide us.
Absolutely, Howard. It's very important to understand what insurance and regulatory safeguards are in place for your bank or investment provider. When you've worked hard to build up your savings for peace of mind, you should always establish what investor protection you have with each of the financial institutions you use, not just banks, but also investment firms, insurance companies, etc. And where necessary, it's important to take steps to improve your position.
Let's take a closer look at banks now, starting right here in Spain. What protection or guarantees do Spanish banks provide?
Okay, under an EU directive, each EU country provides a bank deposit guarantee of €100,000. In the event a bank fails, your national deposit guarantee scheme will refund your savings up to a limit of €100,000. So savings above this level could be lost if your bank fails. You may receive additional funds following the distribution of assets as part of an insolvency process, but this could depend on the bank's situations at the time, and it could take quite some time. Deposits are covered per depositor, so couples with a joint bank account who have €200,000 is fully protected. It is important to note that the guarantee scheme is per banking group and not per bank. So some banks with different names form part of the same group, so we must be careful in terms of how much protection we have. Under certain circumstances, for example, after selling a property, you may be eligible for higher protection for temporary high balances. So you'll need to look at your local scheme to see what the higher guarantee is and for how long can be considered temporary. In France and Spain, for example, it's just 3 months. France and Cyprus do aim to make the payable amount within 7 working days. And in Spain and Portugal, the time frame is currently 10 days, but this will improve to 7 days from next year.
And what about UK banks?
Yes, so in the UK, accounts in regulated banks are protected by the Financial Services Compensation Scheme, or FSCS. The amount protected is currently £85,000. It also provides £1 million protection limit for temporary high balances for up to 6 months. So, for example, if you've sold your property, you get some additional temporary protection. Protection per depositor is £85,000 per person, but it'll be up to £170,000 for a joint account. And again, it's per banking institution. So an institution is not the same as a bank. Halifax and Bank of Scotland, for example, are part of the same institution. So you'd only have the £85,000 protection for the entire group, for example. The FSCS aims to pay compensation within 7 days of a bank or building society failing, although for certain complex cases, it could take longer, in fact. According to the FSCS website, there are currently no plans to change the £85,000 limit post-Brexit. It also explains that its protection is not dependent upon the depositor's place of residence, but where the bank, building society or credit union holds the deposit. So nothing changes for UK nationals living in the EU with savings in a UK authorised bank. However, since 1st of January of 2021, protection for deposits held in the EU branches of UK firms are now covered by local EEA deposit guarantee schemes in that country and no longer by the FSCS.
Many British expatriates keep sterling savings in the UK offshore centres. What protection do Isle of Man, Jersey and Guernsey banks provide? Is it the same as the UK?
The simple answer is no, it's not the same as the UK, and the protection is not as high as you would get in the UK. Banks in the Channel Islands and the Isle of Man are not covered by the UK scheme, even if the divisions are part of UK banks. So instead, you rely on their local guarantee scheme, which offer lower levels of protection. The Isle of Man's Deposit Compensation Scheme, or DCS, provides compensation of up to £50,000 per person covered, and there's no time limit for the payment. The amount of compensation paid and the timing of payments will depend upon the size, asset quality and profile of the bank and the amount of funding contributed. So unlike the UK and the EU, there is no standing fund for the DCS. It is funded if and when required by contributions from participating banks and the Isle of Man Treasury, and it's capped at £200 million for a 10-year period. The limit of Jersey and Guernsey deposit compensation schemes is also £50,000, and it's capped at £100 million in any 5-year period. And they aim to pay the compensation within about 3 months of the bank failure.
So what could people do to achieve higher protection for their savings and investment capital?
Yes, many savers with large cash deposits have historically spread them out over more than one bank. It does result in more administration and paperwork, but it may be worth it for extra peace of mind. Others have opted to move capital into arrangements which provide a higher level of investor protection than what banks can offer. For example, if you have an investment bond issued by a Luxembourg-regulated insurance company, your investments are protected should the insurance company fail. Luxembourg provides very robust protections for life insurance policyholders and is the strongest in Europe, in fact. The cornerstone of its triangle of security protection regime is its legal requirement that all client assets must be held by an independent custodian bank that's approved by the state regulator, in fact. The bank is required to ring-fence client assets so they are off its balance sheet. If the bank fails, these securities remain in a segregated client account. 100% of the policyholder securities are therefore protected. This does not include cash deposits, but cash held in monetary funds or liquidity funds are fully protected. So in any case, you should always ensure to have adequate diversification across investment assets or providers, and this should reduce your overall risk when it comes to where you hold the custody of your assets.
Do these arrangements provide any other benefits in Spain?
Yes, indeed. Holding your capital in a Spanish tax-compliant investment bond like the Luxembourg Life Assurance Plan can provide many other advantages for a resident in Spain. As well as the highest level of investor protection in Europe, there are significant tax advantages such as tax deferral on your invested capital, meaning the capital in the bond can be actively managed and grow and compound very tax efficiently. You can enjoy a relatively lower rate of income tax applied to any withdrawals you make from the investment. And it can also significantly improve your estate planning position, being a life insurance policy. This means that it can be paid directly to your beneficiaries or family and circumvents the need to go through the legal probate process, which can be lengthy, costly, and it can actually lead to assets being frozen until the probate process has wrapped up. So there are various other advantages for holding your capital in this structure. And of course, they depend on your individual circumstances, financial position, and objectives.
Do you have any other advice for listeners on how to reduce institutional risk and protect their wealth?
I would say that strategic financial planning will look different for different people, and it must be tailored and personalized to each individual and their family circumstances. There are, of course, some areas that are key which we would focus on and prioritize, such as investor protection, which we've spoken about, minimizing taxation, and of course, mitigating the effects of long-term inflation, and to grow and produce an income from our clients' capital. But I would encourage any of our listeners who feel they could benefit from a strategic review of their financial and tax planning to get in touch, and we would be happy to sit down for an exploratory consultation. We're very happy to meet people and to, of course, help them with their financial planning.
And how can people get in touch?
Yeah, I would say the best place to get in touch would be via our website. On our website, you can identify the nearest Blevins Franks office and the local partner there. So you can get in touch directly with the partner from the website, or simply give us a call at our local branch and we can arrange an appointment that way.
Many thanks, Cathal. Nice to talk to you. We'll talk again in about a month's time, I think.
Thank you very much, Howard. I appreciate it.